I'd like you to take your Bibles, if you would, please, and let's turn to the book of Jeremiah in your Old Testament. Easy to find, right after the book of Isaiah. Isaiah, Jeremiah. Going to go to Jeremiah chapter 13, verses 1 down through 11 is where we're going to go this morning. As you know, I mentioned that next Sunday morning is going to start our revival. And revival is really a renewing. It's a refreshing of the soul and the spirit. And it's in a church, it's done through the preaching and teaching of God's word and through music and just helping us to reconnect in our faith. Here in the book of Jeremiah, you find the Lord looking down at the nation of Israel. And the nation of Israel is so desperately in need of revival. And so what God is going to do is he's going to take Jeremiah and he's going to make Jeremiah a visual illustration of the need for the nation of Israel to have revival. And we're going to look at this and we're going to ask ourselves, well, where do we fit into that vision, that image that God was wanting the nation of Israel to see? And I think as I read down through the text, you'll be able to pick up on some things. And then we're going to go back and I'm going to break it out. We're just going to look at it this morning. So Jeremiah chapter 13, going to read for you verses 1 down through 11. Thus saith the Lord unto me, go and get thee a linen girdle and put it upon thy loins and put it not in water. So I got a girdle according to the word of the Lord and put it on my loins. And the word of the Lord came unto me the second time, saying, take the girdle that thou hast got, which is upon thy loins, and arise and go to Euphrates, and hide it there in a hole of the rock. So I went, and I hid it by Euphrates, as the Lord commanded me. And it came to pass after many days that the Lord said unto me, arise, go to Euphrates, and take the girdle from thence which I commanded thee to hide there. Then I went to Euphrates and digged and took the girdle from the place where I had hid it. And behold, the girdle was marred, and it was profitable for nothing. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, thus saith the Lord, after this manner will I mar the pride of Judah and the great pride of Jerusalem. This evil people, which refuse to hear my words, which walk in the imagination of their heart, and walk after other gods to serve them and to worship them, shall even be as this girdle, which is good for nothing. For as the girdle cleaveth to the loins of a man, so have I caused to cleave unto me the whole house of Israel and the whole house of Judah, saith the Lord, that they might be unto me for a people and for a name and for a praise and for a glory. But they would not hear. It's interesting when you read this text, you find as God brings this to Jeremiah, he wants Jeremiah to see what God sees. And he wants the nation of Israel to see themselves as God sees them. It really starts out by making Jeremiah this living illustration. He says to him, I want you to go and I want you to purchase a girdle. Now, for you and I that grew up in the 50s and 60s and 70s, we're thinking of the commercials we saw when we were kids of women who would buy those girdles that were just like elastic things that pulled in, I guess, all the parts that shouldn't be sticking out. I don't know. I've never worn a girdle, so I don't know. But that's not what the girdle is that he's talking about here. He's talking about an outer garment that held the outer garments tight against your body. And so he's saying to him, I want you to go and I want you to purchase a girdle, an outer garment that pulls your clothes into you, because they wore very loose flowing clothes. And he says, I want it to be linen. God is very specific to him. So he says, I don't want you to go and get one that's woven from wool. I want you to go get one that's woven from flax, from the fiber of a plant. But he says something very unique to him. He says, I want you to go and purchase this girdle, and I don't want you to put it in water. Listen to what he says to him. Thus saith the Lord unto me, go and get thee a linen girdle, put it upon thy loin, and put it not in water. So two things he's telling him. When you go to purchase this, I don't want you to put it in water. And part of this is because when they bought linen things back in that time, they were very coarse. They were harsh. Their color carried the natural color of the fibers. So they would work the linen in water, maybe sometimes in dye. They would soften it and work it to break those fibers down to make it so it was not coarse against their flesh. And so God says to Jeremiah, he says, I want you to go and purchase this linen outer garment. I do not want you to put it in water, and I want you to wear it. Now, in many ways, for you and I, that may not seem all that strange. You decide to go buy something, you pop into the store, you're in a hurry, you buy it, you put it on, you think, well, it's pretty clean, it went through the manufacturing process, it's going to be okay, it'll be all right. But back then, it's just not the same. So he put on this very coarse, this very harsh garment, this garment that would not have been beautiful. And the interesting thing is, Jeremiah is a prophet. He's part of the priesthood. And the priesthood wore these very garments, but not like this garment. In fact, when you look in Exodus chapter 28, 40, it says, and for Aaron's sons thou shalt make coats, and thou shalt make for them girdles, and bonnets shalt thou make for them, for glory and for beauty. So the priests wore these garments for the glory of God and for beauty. Well, this one would not have been beautiful. Leviticus chapter 16, verse 4 says, he shall put on the holy linen coat, and shall have the linen breeches upon his flesh, and shall be girded with a linen girdle, and with the linen mitre shall be attired. These are holy garments. This garment that God is asking Jeremiah to put on does not look beautiful, does not look like a religious outer garment. It is just plain, rough, coarse cloth. And he says, I don't want you to wash it, but I want you to wear it. Now, it really doesn't take long for a garment to get soiled, does it? This morning I put on a fresh, clean shirt, I promise you. Sandra Jo ironed it for me, made sure it looked good. And before I left the house, I poured some lemonade in a cup, went up to my office, and I was working this morning and went to take a drink out of my cup, and I don't know what happened. I just, you know, we never grow up, do we? I kind of missed a little, and it ran down my shirt. And I thought, oh, how bad's it going to look? Lemonade on my shirt. You can't even tell. Look at that. Isn't that great? See, if it had been coffee, you'd see it. But it just doesn't take long to soil our clothes, does it? So it would not have for Jeremiah either. In fact, they lived in a much dirtier society, a culture that was surrounded by dust and dirt in a much higher degree than we would have. So the impression given here by our text is he told him, I want you to wear this girdle, and I don't want you to wash this girdle. Listen to what goes on, he says in verse 2. So I got a girdle according to the word of the Lord, and I put it on my loins. And the word of the Lord came unto me the second time, saying, take the girdle that thou hast got, which is upon thy loins, and arise and go to Euphrates and hide it there in a hole of the rock. So every day Jeremiah is wearing this same girdle that's not attractive, it's not priestly, it doesn't look holy, it doesn't look beautiful, but it is starting to look old and dirty and nasty. And God says to him, now I want you to take a 200-mile journey to the Euphrates. Now, here he is in the region of Jerusalem, and he's going to journey all the way up north, and he's going to go to the Euphrates River. Well, imagine, this is not getting into your SUV and turning on the AC and kicking back with some music and driving 200 miles. This is walking. Walking 200 miles. This would be a long, long journey for people at that time. The other interesting thing is the Euphrates is the northernmost border of the Promised Land. That's a point of interest in our text. He could have sent him anywhere. He could have sent him to the Jordan, which was right in the middle of the Promised Land. But he sends him to the farthest edge of all that is the Promised Land of God. And he says, I want you to go there. Take the girdle that thou hast got, which is upon thy loins, arise and go to Euphrates and hide it there in the hole of a rock. So I went, and I hid it by Euphrates as the Lord commanded me. And it came to pass after many days. So he doesn't tell us how many, but many. So a time span that the Lord said unto me, arise, go to Euphrates, take the girdle from thence, which I commanded thee to hide there. Then I went to Euphrates. I digged it and took the girdle from the place where I had hid it. And behold, the girdle was marred. It was profitable for nothing. So this is a visual illustration for the nation of Israel and an eternal illustration for all of us. He says to him, I want you to take this brand new girdle, this brand new piece of cloth that would hold all your loose clothing together. He says, wear that unwashed until I send you to Euphrates, a 200-mile walk. When you get there, bury it beside the river. After much time, he sends him back another 200-mile walk, and there he takes it out. And can you imagine what it looked like? It would have been rotted, and it would be falling apart. Maybe rodents and different things would have gotten in and chewed on it. And he said, I pulled it out of this hole. It was worthless. Look with me as we go down, because he's going to give us the application to the illustration. We come down. Look with me at verse 8. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, thus saith the Lord after this manner, I will mar the pride of Judah and the great pride of Jerusalem. This evil people which refuse to hear my words, which walk in the imagination of their heart and walk after other gods to serve them and worship them, shall even be as this girdle which is good for nothing. For as the girdle cleaveth to the loins of a man, so have I caused to cleave unto me the whole house of Israel and the whole house of Judah, saith the Lord, that they might be unto me a people for a name and for a praise and for a glory. But they would not hear. So he tells us, he says, the girdle is an illustration of my people. So you and I as Christians, we are God's people. You and I have been called unto him, received by him in salvation. Christ himself said, come unto me, and I will give you rest. We, each and every one of us that have received Christ as our Savior, he says, you're born again. You're born into my family. You are a child of God, engrafted into the olive tree, as he talks about in the book of Romans. We are his. And he is ours. We are like that girdle. You see, you and I are like that brand new flax linen girdle. God took us just as we came, with all our coarseness, with all our imperfections, with all our roughness. We were not refined when we came to Jesus. He didn't tell us, get all your problems straightened out and then come to me. He didn't say, you need to get washed up and cleaned up and softened up and nicened up. He didn't say that. He applied us just as we came, just the rough cob that we were. And he says of the nation of Israel, he says, I put them on and I bound them close to me. And that's exactly what God does with us. He draws us near unto him. He draws us to such a degree that he dwells within us. That's what the Bible says. It says that he dwells within us when we receive him as our Savior. Acts 26:28, you find King Agrippa saying, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. That's what he said to the Apostle Paul. And he said that because the apostles, the early Christians, they lived a life that manifested God in their daily lives. It was a testimony to all. You and I, here we are in the year 2019. And when people see us as God connected to us, as that girdle, how does he see us? How do people see us? Do they see us as close to God, or are we kind of rotted, dirty, worn, tattered? In fact, the illustration that he says, take the girdle all the way to Euphrates, the very outer edge of the promised land. Sometimes we as Christians, we go so far in our Christian walk that we're right on the edge of living like we're not even a Christian, outside of the boundaries of where God would have us to be. And sometimes that's why we need revival so bad. We're right there at Euphrates. We're right there hidden in a dirt hole somewhere. And we're just not at all keeping ourselves clean and right and holy before God. And that's what he's saying about the nation of Israel. He says, these folks, these are like an old rotted girdle that's buried on the side of the river on the farthest edge away from where they would be my people. And we have to ask ourselves, where am I in this picture? Where am I? Am I that girdle that's wrapped with the Lord, but I'm clean and I'm right and I'm pure? Or have I allowed myself to go so far to the outer edge and allowed myself to be so spiritually neglected and not cared for that I'm tattered and torn, decayed? You see, Jeremiah was to make a very visual point to a very struggling nation in their spiritual walk. In fact, when you look at what God says about them in verse 10, you realize that the Lord is truly disturbed by their spiritual condition. He says, this evil people which refuse to hear my words, which walk in the imagination of their heart, and they walk after other gods to serve them and to worship them, shall even be as this girdle, which is good for nothing. God says about the nation of Israel, he says, they have walked away from me. They have forsaken their faith in me. They have chased after false gods. If you look at the text, it's a small g. It's not a capital G. He says they're false gods. They're not living gods. For he is the true and living God. And they have chased after these small g fake gods. He says they have become worthless. That's what revival is about. Revival is about us looking in the scriptures and looking at ourselves and saying to ourselves, where am I spiritually? And what do I need to allow God to do to get me back on track so that I am again that girdle that God pulls tight and near, that girdle that is holy, that honors him, yes, even beautiful in the eyes of God. We have to be careful in our lives lest we become that garment that is tattered and rotted. I find humor sometimes in the fashions of even when I was a teenager or on to today. When I was a kid, we'd buy a brand new pair of blue jeans, we'd cut off the bottoms, and then we'd fray them so that we'd have about this much tatter and fray, kind of like we'd been a hillbilly until the pants worn off, you know. Today, nowadays, I was walking down the road the other day, and I saw this girl walking down the sidewalk through Virgin's, and the holes on her knees were so big, her whole knees coming through the blue jeans. And I know if I stopped and asked her, she'd say, I paid a lot of money for these holy jeans. There you go. And I don't even know if you're the one I saw wearing them. But it's interesting that we live in a culture and a society who, in our comfort and our wealth, want to look tattered and poor. It's interesting, isn't it? We went to the Dominican Republic on a missions trip, and we went to a service that was in part of the city of Port-au-Prince where it was Haitians. It was a Haitian church, poorest of the poor. These are people who barely make enough money to feed their families. And the missionary, he had said to me, "Pastor, don't wear a tie, you're fine, just wear a shirt and slacks." And I get there, and all of a sudden these Haitian people are showing up, the poorest of the poor. And they're coming in their best. I mean their best. Washed and pressed, sharp. I was embarrassed. I went to the missionary. I told him, I says, "You want me to preach to these people? I don't even have a tie on, and they're dressed like in suits." He said, "Yeah, they don't care." I cared. I was embarrassed because I wanted to honor the Lord. They came to honor the Lord. That's why they did what they did. They probably have one dress clothes, and all the rest are just work clothes. And they came with their best. Here, God is making a visual illustration for the nation of Israel. Jeremiah the prophet, the one who ministers to them, all of a sudden looks tattered and ratty. He's looking worn out, and his clothes are nasty, not even washing them. And God's saying, "That's how you are spiritually." That's what he's saying to the nation of Israel. "That's how you are. You're not caring for yourself spiritually, and you're becoming worn out and dirty and tattered. You're becoming like as if you're living right on the edge away from me." He says to the nation of Israel, he says, "You're becoming useless in your spiritual well-being." Revival is about us stepping back and saying, maybe it's time to clean up, polish up, spiff up. Get things right, because we want to honor the Lord. Not about clothes. It's about the heart. It's about what's inside. Listen to what he goes on to say here in Jeremiah chapter 13. We'll read again verse 10, but listen what he says. "This evil people which refuse to hear my words, which walk in the imagination of their heart, they walk after other gods to serve them and to worship them, shall even be as this girdle, which is good for nothing. For as the girdle cleaveth to the loins of a man, so have I caused to cleave unto me the whole house of Israel and the whole house of Judah, saith the Lord, that they might be unto me for a people and for a name and for a praise and for a glory." You see, that's what God desires of all of us, all his people, all his children. He desires that you and I would be a name. That's why we're Christians, Christ-like, following after the Lord our God. He says that they might be for me a people. You know, the Bible says that he calls us and woos us unto himself, that we might be a nation of his people. He says that they might be for me a people, a name, and for a praise. We come together on Sunday morning and we lift up our voices and we sing praise to God. We just did that with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. John sang a special. Henry did a recitation. We do this to come, and we do it to come and praise God. And that's what he desires. This text is not about clothes. It's about our heart. It's about our soul. It's about our relationship with him and how we are drawn near to him, because he desires a people who are following his name, a people who praise him. You look at the last part of verse 11. Why? For glory. For glory. That he might be glorified. That he might be exalted and lifted up. This last week, I flew to a meeting. I'm on a missions committee, and so it was a meeting in Kentucky. And so I flew down to Dulles Airport, and then I flew out to Kentucky. And it was commuter jets, small jets. And as I was flying along, it was low altitude. In fact, one of the first times I've ever flown low enough that I could see little private planes just underneath us. Never done that before. But I could see the land. And I'm looking at the endless, endless, endless forests and mountains as you fly. I mean, when you leave Vermont and you fly down to D.C., you're flying over vast federal, state forest land, as well as people who own a house with 10 acres or 100 acres or forest after forest. You leave Dulles and you head to Kentucky, and all of a sudden you're flying over more forest and more forest. Oh, there's a house here and there and here and there, but there's much forest, then agriculture, farms and farms. And as I'm flying, I'm just thinking to myself, we are a blessed people. God has blessed us as a people. We are blessed. We live in a healthy place, a whole place. We are blessed. You see, he wants a people who that when they look at the forest, they're not worshiping nature. They're worshiping the Creator. They're not worshiping earth. They're worshiping the Creator. He says, I need a people. I want a people. He's the Creator of all that is. And he says, I just want a people who will worship me. That's what's revival. It's for us to step back and to ask ourselves, ask God to stir our soul and to stir us, to wash us and to cleanse us, that we might stand up a little taller, a little truer to the God who we praise, to the God who we claim his name, to the God who we say we're his people. That's what revival's about. So I challenge you as we go into this week, because I know you're busy. I'm busy. But I'm not so busy that I'm not going to make it a priority to be in God's house. And I know you say, well, you're the pastor, you have to be there. You're right. I do. But I chose to be a pastor because God called me. I was a machinist before I was a pastor, made a very good living. Could have continued to do that. It paid my way through college, supported my family all those early years. I could still be doing that, but I chose, through God's calling, to make him a priority. And I'm asking you. I know, I want you to get all your stuff in order this week. Get all that, get the mower repaired, get the rocks raked, get the flowers pruned, get everything done so that next Sunday we go into Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. 4 days. That we as a church will dedicate to revival. So that we can have God show us how he sees us. So he can stir our hearts. So that we can step back and just kind of renew ourselves in our walk with God. That's what I'm asking you as your pastor to do. Get it in order this week. So that next week, we can make him a priority. Let's bow our heads. And as we bow our heads and we look in our hearts, I just ask you, if right where your head is bowed and right where you are right now, would you just make a commitment to the Lord and say, yes, Lord, I will give it every effort. I will truly do my best. I commit to you to get things ready this week so that next week I can be at revival. Let's take just a moment of silent prayer. Let's talk to the Lord about that. You talk to him about your personal need and your struggle and your need to get here for revival. Let's take a moment for just personal, private prayer. Father in heaven, as we come to the end of our service this morning, Lord, we want to see ourselves as you see us, that we might know where we are soiled. Where are we torn, tattered, and neglected in our spiritual lives? We want to know what we need to do to get it right, mended and polished, that we might honor you, honor your name, be your people. For Lord, we want to be holy as you are holy. But Lord, we need your enabling. We need your help. We live in a crazy busy day. We live in a society that just pushes and pushes for every hour and every moment. We need you to help us. Help us to get our things in order this week, that we can set aside 4 evenings to come for a revival. I pray for our church that you would help us to be a stirred people, ready to hear from our God. We thank you. We thank you that you love us enough to care. Help us to draw near to you, even as that girdle that's bound about you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you for coming this morning. We're dismissed.